Very good. Well, let's pray together and then we'll get into the Lord's word. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, that it is your word that formed the universe. You spoke. And Lord, it is your word that puts into action everything that you want to happen. So we come to your word and we submit ourselves to your word, letting your word teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at a subject today, and the reason I want to look at this subject is that over the years, I've probably seen more people stuck in their positions through this issue of forgiveness than almost any other thing. My heart for all of you is that you live the fullest life you can live. That's a life that starts off being healthy in all respects. You have healthy relationships. You have healthy relationships with money. You have healthy relationships with each other. Your body itself is healthy. And you live in a fullness and an abundance that comes and is part of what Christ has for you. Now, it's clear to me that when we come to this issue of forgiveness is that there will be across this room a number of things that have happened in your life, which I probably will know very little about many of them. They will probably be very different from the experiences I've had. But the principles that God has for us in this area are the same, come what may. This issue of forgiveness is critical to our life as a believer. So let's open our Bibles together to Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Because it's quite small on the screen, I imagine some of you will probably actually need to open your Bibles. If you've got a physical Bible, your phone. If you've got your phone on, try not to get distracted by WhatsApp. Or anything else you've got on there. And let's read it together. Then Peter came to him, that's Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done to him. Then his master, after he had called them, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers, until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Okay. I want you to engage with this passage with those around you. I want you to get yourselves in groups of four and answer these questions. Who does the king represent in this parable? Who does the first servant represent? Who does the second servant represent? Who do the torturers represent? and what's the meaning of the parable. So get yourselves into fours or roughly fours. I know if I say fours, some of you'll be sixes, some of you'll be 12s, but you know, let's aim. And let's discuss this parable. Back together then. Turn your chairs around if you've turned them around. I don't know. Think about it. Right. Let's start with, who does the king represent? Let's start with the easy one. Any group want to go for the easy one? God, yes. The king represents God. Who does the first servant represent?
Us,
that's right. So what we see here is that we all carry with us a bunch of sin. These are offences we have caused to God, and he has forgiven us all of them. What all of the rubbish that we've carried in our lives, whatever it may be, there's been forgiveness for every single one of those sins. So the first servant represents us. Who does the second servant represent? Yes, so somebody who has offended us. So we've offended God by sinning, and he's forgiven us all of that. Other people offend us. Okay? So far, so good. What do the torturers represent? What, sorry? Demonic realm. Yeah, that's right. What he's saying is that if we fail to forgive, there is a door opened in our lives to the demonic to wreak havoc in your life. And no matter how many declarations you make, no matter how many worship songs you sing, no matter how enthusiastically you shout hallelujah, you're still a doorway in your life to the enemy because of unforgiveness. That's the meaning of the parable. So that is roughly what I just said. So what is this forgiveness thing? I think people get very confused about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness, in very simplest form, is a choice. What it says is that you have offended me. I release you from the consequences of that offense. So if let's say Brian stole my phone. Okay? He's not going to, I'm sure. Although I don't know where my phone is at the moment. But anyway, Brian has stolen my phone. Yeah. He has offended me. He has taken something which is mine and he's stolen it. Forgiveness says this. It says, I release you from the consequences of having taken my phone. You don't need to return it. I'm not looking for you to be punished for it. I simply release you from the consequences of having taken my phone. Am I going to leave my phone out in front of him again? No. But that's a trust issue, not a forgiveness issue. Okay? It is perfectly proper for us to forgive people, but because of what they have done, to put boundaries in place in our lives, so that they will not recommit those things to you. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you are suddenly a footstool, or you have to lie down and accept all the abuse that's coming your way. No, forgiveness says, in relation to that one event, that instant, the way you have offended me, I release you from the consequences of that action. Forgiveness Forgiveness starts, as all things in the Bible, it starts by us receiving forgiveness. Everything in the gospel is all about us having responded because we have received in the first instance. We love because he's first loved us. We forgive because he first forgave us. And there is something about everything starts with the experience of the Father. We have received forgiveness, and that's what the first servant received, entire forgiveness for a debt that was huge. Forgiveness always starts with us having received from the Lord. And the forgiveness we've received can be summarized in Psalms 103:10-14. He has not punished us as we deserve for all our sins, for his mercy towards those who fear and honor him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. And then he talks about the removal of our sin as far from the east from the west. There is always starts with the fact that we ourselves have received an immense forgiveness of everything we've done and everything we will do. So you have a choice when it comes to forgiveness. Do I hold on to my right for justice, or do I release it to God? Always that choice. My right to demand justice for my situation, or a release of it and allow God's justice in that situation. Now, the problem is that every time it comes to forgiveness, it's to do with somebody else. But what does Scripture say our fight is against? Principalities and powers. It's not against flesh. So when it comes to us being, I've got an issue with Brian because he stole my phone, actually my fight is never against Brian, because it's never against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and power. It's against the spiritual powers that are behind the theft and all those other things. So when it comes to forgiveness, what we're doing is we're making a choice. Do we hold on to our own right of justice / revenge, or do we leave it to God to bring justice in a situation? Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. God's more than capable of dealing with all of our situations. I remember that we had our house broken into, and somebody came and just, you know, broke into the house, which is a violation in itself, and it leaves you feeling vulnerable. And then there's always the sort of the pain and the hassle of, you know, they stole another set of car keys, so how do we deal with that? And all of those things. The decision was made early to forgive and to bless this young man who had taken our stuff. The Lord brought a justice. He was caught, amazingly. He left a single fingerprint on our gate and was caught and has been sent to prison. We gave up our right to justice, but the Lord has got no problems in bringing justice. And so forgiveness basically gets us out of the way and allows God to bring a divine justice in a situation. And so in many ways, forgiveness is actually the most sensible thing to do from a logical point of view. We get out of the way of holding somebody responsible for something and let God bring his own justice instead. If we want to hold on to our right to justice, then we exclude his ability to bring justice in that situation. Now, there is a link between us receiving forgiveness and forgiving others. Jesus taught how to pray when his disciples said, and one of it is, and forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our debtors, or those who trespass against us. So in other words, when we pray for forgiveness, at the same time we have to release those who have harmed or offended us. There's no choice. For us to receive forgiveness, we must give forgiveness. They're intertwined. You can't have the one without the other. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Again, it's this very simple point. I'm praying, something comes into my head, my heart, I've got this issue with this person. Forgive, so that you can be forgiven. There is this link between the two. You do not want to walk around with the consequences of your own sin. Not when Jesus paid for it. Yet we can purposefully choose to do that when we fail to forgive. So this issue of forgiveness is critical. Because what it does is if we don't forgive, we are opening up the doorway to our lives to all kinds of demonic attack. It will be on your mind, it'll be attack on your body, attack on your family, attack on your career, your friendships, your money, everything, the door's open. And you see it time and time again. So for example, you see children who have been abused are often abusers. Why is that? Because there's an unforgiveness towards the person who abused them, which has given open access to their life, to the demonic, that has recreated that cycle in their life. You see those who children whose parents are addicted to alcohol, let's say, or drugs. They themselves become addicted to alcohol and drugs. Now, if you ask them when they were young, what is it? You know, what would you never do? Well, I'd never be like my parents because they're useless in that condition. Yet, because of those issues of unforgiveness, they've opened up their lives to demonic attack to repeat the cycles of what they're not forgiving. This destroys lives in a way that almost no other issue does, this issue of forgiveness. And there is only one logical choice to make, and that is to choose to forgive. So why is it difficult to forgive, and what practically can we do about it? Well, all issues about forgiveness start with an offense. It's somebody else, okay? Issues always start with somebody else bringing an offense. Now, we're all built slightly differently. Some people take offense quickly. Some people take offense more slowly. To a certain extent, that's part of your personality, your makeup, and things like that. But for all of us, there is this proverb, Proverbs 4:23. Above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. So there is this initial gateway that everything has to come through, and that's the guard to your heart. Do you guard your heart so that the moment offense comes, that you recognize it as offense and deal with it quickly? The moment offense takes root, it's a lot more difficult to deal with, okay? But there is this initial guard you've got where somebody does something that actually you have the ability to guard your heart from taking offense in that moment and deal with it. Now, your ability to recognize and deal with offense will often depend on where your walk is with Christ at that time. How much is your word in you? So, you know, I will hold your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Okay? So how much is the word of God in you? Because that is a very quick way of saying, actually, what's just happening is I recognize this straight away. There's a discerning, because I've got his word running around in my heart, there's a discernment immediately that this is an offense, that if I let it fester, it will cause me a problem. I need to deal with it quickly. How aware are we of his presence on a day-by-day basis? How aware are we in worship of him? All of these things are basically, how close are you to him so that you recognize quickly when an offense is coming? And you can deal with it before it takes root. Because if you can deal with most of your life, there'll always be things that get through. But if you can deal with most offenses in life quickly and efficiently, your life will be that much easier. Guard your heart, because from it flows the issues of life. There we go. The problem with forgiveness is that forgiveness is a choice, but it gets combined with bitterness. And that's what makes it difficult to make that choice. Because logically speaking, from what I've said, you're all going to go, actually, forgiveness is the only logical choice. Yeah? Who of you would, you know, willingly say, I would like to open my life up to some demonic attack. I'd like to open my front door and they can help themselves to whatever they like within my house, my family, my, you know, whatever. How many of you would do that? None of you. The problem is that forgiveness and unforgiveness is anchored in bitterness. And bitterness is basically a multi-layered emotional issue. It's anger, it's resentment, it's all of these things that dwell within you. And it anchors unforgiveness to it so that it's very difficult to let go and forgive. James 3:14 says, but if you have any bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So if you have bitter envy, this wisdom, that bitter envy, doesn't come from heaven, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. The point being is this, is that bitterness is so powerful because it makes sense to our earthly mind. It's sensual. It feels like it's doing something at the time. But actually its origin is demonic. It is not. Resentment and bitterness is a way of thinking that feels good at the time. Because it feels like as you are expressing the feelings that are going on inside, that it makes sense, that you're justified in the way you're feeling because of what somebody else has done to you. And bitterness, therefore, is difficult to deal with because it makes sense and it sort of feels like it's doing something within you. But actually, it's not. Its origin is demonic as opposed to heavenly. Once bitterness has taken hold of your life, it's difficult to shift it. Hebrews 12:25, yeah, beware, it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many come defiled. What's the point? Is that bitterness takes roots in your soul. It goes deep within your soul and creates a root system. Now, how many of you had to dig up hedges in your life? One. Okay. Two. Okay. Some of you guys need to get out a bit more. Even I have dug up a hedge. Hedges are quite difficult because actually you can chop off all the leaves. You can saw down the branches. But then what is left is a root system that goes into the ground. You've got to dig it to get this thing out. Okay? It's hard once something has rooted in the ground or rooted in your soul to lift it off. And that's what bitterness does. It creates a root system within your soul, anchoring unforgiveness to it. It's interesting, isn't it, that it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many come defiled. The nature of bitterness is this, is that it spreads. It defiles others. It spreads. One of the biggest challenges of ministry is, are you able to minister to a certain group of people without picking up their offences? Can you minister to parents without picking up their offence about children not being respectful? Can you minister to those who have been abused without taking offence with the abusers? Can you minister to children without getting offended by the parents' lack of understanding and patience with them? Bitterness has a way of creeping out and spreading. People who are bitter are always looking for ears that are willing to listen to what they're saying and agree with them. So it spreads even further. Bitterness in itself is destructive, and it dirties things that otherwise should be clean. Forgiveness must be separated from bitterness. Forgiveness is a choice. Bitterness is a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. Bitterness is a feeling. When you choose to forgive, you release somebody from the consequences of that offence. It does not automatically take away the bitterness that you have in that situation. But if bitterness is not dealt with, it attracts back unforgiveness. So you don't have to necessarily feel anything to forgive. You choose to forgive. But if you don't deal with the bitterness, then it is likely to reattract unforgiveness. Now, the interesting thing is the Bible doesn't really tell you how to spot bitterness or how to deal with bitterness. So how do we spot bitterness in our own lives? Well, this is my makeshift solution. And that is, can you have a conversation with that person who has offended you and be able to honour them and bless them in that conversation without having anything pulling inside you going, this is killing me to say this. Okay? If you can have a conversation about somebody who's offended you or hurt you deeply and honour them in that conversation without there being this, oh, this is killing me to do this, that's the sign of whether or not you've dealt with bitterness. If you've still got that, this is killing me, then there's still a root of bitterness that needs to be dealt with. Now, there is ultimately a process of the Lord's grace with anything. The emotional stuff that you're going through, the Lord already knows about. And there is, as you seek after him, a place of healing for that. But healing comes usually after you've made a decision that I'm going to pursue this route. You see, the Bible's sort of a bit odd. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you. Just put it away. Now, anybody who's gone through an level of bitterness, just putting it away isn't that easy. Just put it away. So how do you just put it away? Well, you begin to get a hint of what they're suggesting here. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You do replacement therapy. Whereas before you could only say, what a so-and-so they are, you choose to speak blessings over them. You make the decision that in that moment, no longer are you going to speak over their lives bad things and express your anger at what they've done, but you choose to bless them. I had a series of incidents early in the year where I was being consistently criticized very unfairly in the work environment. It was constant. It was every day there would be a series of semi-abusive emails that came to me or my team, all about us. And in that moment, I felt I had that bitterness going on. I was angry. I was resentful because it was unfair. So I would forgive. Forgiveness in itself did not solve the issue that I still felt angry and resentful. But I did the next thing, and that's Luke 6:28. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. So every morning, first thing, you bless them. Every morning, I would bless them. I bless their families. I bless their homes. I bless their careers. I bless all of the things that they were coming against me and trying to pull me down. I would look to lift them up. It wasn't immediate. If somebody mentioned their name to me, I'd still go, arr, 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 arr. Okay, it was not immediate. But over time, there was a process where actually I was aligning myself with actually the truth about them and God's heart for them, that the feelings of anger and resentment began to go. And so in many ways, the scripture is not very clear at exactly how you deal with these things, but it certainly suggests a replacement. You put away one thing, you put another on. And you make a choice in that moment to bless that person with everything that's within you. What often happens when it comes to forgiveness is you make a decision to forgive, and then because of this bitterness thing going on, you ask yourself the question, have I really forgiven them? How many of you have done that? Six? Seven? Yeah? So you've done this forgiveness thing, but because there's still stuff going on with you emotionally, you've got this, have I really forgiven them? Forgiveness is a choice. If you've chosen to forgive them, then you've forgiven them. If you've released them from the consequences of their actions against you, that is forgiveness. However, the enemy is always looking to come and say you haven't forgiven them. So what I would say is do what it says in Matthew 3:8. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. I.e., if you've forgiven somebody, there can be a fruit to show you've forgiven them. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that you put a marker in the sand or on stone that says, this day, I have forgiven that person what they did against me. It can be a text to that person to say, you forgive. You can say, I love you dearly. I bless you. Either way, you've done something that at that moment shows a fruit of repentance. You have shown in physical form that you've forgiven that person. It may be that you just simply send them a bunch of flowers and say, love you dearly. Again, you've got evidence that on that day you have forgiven them. You're putting this marker down. And it's a marker that you can go back to. So when the enemy says you haven't really forgiven, you say, no, I have. On this day, I forgave them. And I demonstrated my forgiveness to them by doing this. Sometimes you may not be able to actually speak to the person. Maybe there's no communication. Do something that reflects you've forgiven them. Give to their favorite charity. Do something, even if you can't contact them directly. There's something that actually the Lord wants us to know and be sure that we have, one, been forgiven, but also that we have forgiven. And so that I would put into practice this process of bringing forth fruits of repentance. Now, I didn't have a ministry time earlier today because I actually want to go after this forgiveness and bitterness issues. So I'm going to just take a moment. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit. And if there is somebody you need to forgive, I want you to stand up. Okay? So let's close our eyes together. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Holy Spirit, I invite you here now. There is very little as important to you as this issue of forgiveness. And today, Lord, we want to get serious with you. So, Holy Spirit, highlight to us those people and those areas that have left doors open in our lives because of unforgiveness. Amen. So just stand now. If the Holy Spirit is highlighting someone in your life, just stand. There are a couple more people. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. All right, let's go through forgiveness. Any last takers? If you have, then let's just stand up now. Let's not wait any longer. Amen. I want you to pray after me. Lord Jesus, I choose to forgive. And just say the name in your heart. And today, I thank you, Lord, that I'm free. And I'll pray over you. In the name of Jesus, you have heard the confession of forgiveness from the people standing here. In the name of Jesus, I close every door to demonic attack in these lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if anyone is dealing with bitterness, those who are standing, could you remain standing? If in addition, if anybody is trying to deal with bitterness, then just stand up now. Holy Spirit, I just ask that anybody who is dealing with bitterness in this place, that there be a grace in this moment and a healing in this moment. Lord, pull up by the roots bitterness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, all of those that stood, if you have any affliction in your body, come to the front. If you have any affliction on your finances, come to the front. If you have issues with your family, come to the front. If I could get the ministry team up, please. Ministry team, come and stand on this step in front of me. You see, there are some things and some conditions in life that will never be healed until this issue of forgiveness is dealt with. And today we've dealt with forgiveness. So there is a grace in this room to release a supernatural move of God that was not there half an hour ago. So I'm going to ask you to come before the ministry team who are going to stand on this step, and one by one we will release what you need in this moment. Amen. Get started. Jesus. And the rest of you, just pray for the people up here, that the Lord's hand will move. Okay, as the rest of these people are ministering together, if we all want to stand together and we'll pray and then I'll call it a day. Lord, we give you thanks for your word and the power of forgiveness in our lives. Lord, I pray that this week we will all live free from unforgiveness, and that the roots of bitterness will be pulled up in our lives for your glory. May we love and be kind to each other more than ever before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.